Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast about women's sports news and the big stories. Every episode, we'll cover what's happened over the weekend, a favourite story, and what to watch in the coming week. My name is Chloe Dalton. I'm an Olympic gold medalist in rugby sevens and an AFLW player. I'm joined by my co-host, Millie Dawson. Millie is an athlete manager who works with some of Australia's top female athletes. Hey, Mills, how are you?
I'm very well, Chloe. How has your weekend been?
Yeah, I had a really good weekend. I went down to watch the Aon Uni Sevens National Finals, round one of the finals. So it's the domestic unis from across the country come together and play a bit of rugby sevens over the weekend. They'll have the final round of that again in 2 weeks' time. Got to see a lot of my Aussie Sevens teammates split amongst the universities, and Bond Uni took out this round. So congrats to Bond. It was also really cool seeing a couple of people around wearing their women play sports t-shirts, and I was fangirling hard.
It is weird seeing people wear them in public.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? We've actually both got ours on now, of course, repping it. And we may or may not have a very exciting announcement to do with the t-shirts coming this week.
I would highly recommend going to the link in our bio and putting your email in there. So if we did happen to have more t-shirts coming out sometime very soon, you would be the first to know.
Coming up on today's episode, we'll be joined by Lucy Small, who recently took out the women's category at the Curly Maljam Pro and called out the event organisers for disparity in prize money between the men's and women's events.
But first, let's take a look around the grounds. In water polo, the Australian women's team has taken one step closer to the Tokyo Olympics, naming a squad of 16 players. The squad are back in camp in Ballina before they return to the Sunshine Coast, where they train. The final Olympic team of 13 players will be selected in the coming month. We're really looking forward to watching these girls in Tokyo. Australia have traditionally been a dominant force in water polo, looking back to the iconic moment at Sydney 2000 when Yvette Higgins scored in the dying seconds to win gold for Australia, one of my favourite sporting moments of all time.
Cricket is the first discipline to announce qualifying teams for the Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games as the sport makes a landmark re-entry to the event, which is scheduled for late July next year, with our Aussie women's team being included in the seven countries who have qualified. Women's cricket will feature in T20 format for the first time in the event's history and only for the second time for the sport, with men's one-day international included in the Kuala Lumpur Games in 1998.
In baseball, Adelaide played host to a women's baseball showcase over the weekend, with Adelaide and Brisbane meeting in two doubleheaders. 12 members of the 2018 Australian Women's World Cup roster were named to the two teams, including eight-time representative Shay Lillywhite, who featured for the Adelaide Giants. The two teams shared the spoils, both winning two games each over the weekend. Madison Heath's Grand Slam propelled Brisbane to a 10-5 win over Adelaide in the final game, and helps the Brisbane Bandits to a series-leveling win. The showcase was a part of the bid to hopefully set up a professional women's league in Australia in 2022.
In netball, the West Coast Fever got their 2021 season off to the perfect start, defeating the Melbourne Vixens by 14 points in the 2020 Grand Final rematch at John Cain Arena. The reigning champion Vixens were keen to make a successful start to their premiership defence in front of their home crowd, but the Fever were too good and won every quarter on their way to the 65-51 win. Three-time Super Netball Player of the Year Janelle Fowler looks set for another outstanding season for the Fever, the Jamaican shooter leading from the front with 54 goals. The task of defending their 2020 title was always going to be a challenging one for the Vixens, following the retirement of veteran goalers Caitlin Thwaites and Tegan Phillip, along with gun midcourter Liz Watson ruled out for the season with a foot injury.
In rugby league, the commission directors have agreed there's an urgency to grow the women's game at both the elite and grassroots levels. The NRL have said that their preferred expansion would involve two new teams joining the Roosters, Dragons, Warriors and Broncos in the 2021 NRLW competition, paving the way for clubs to make their pitches for immediate inclusion into the league. There's also talk of expanding the competition twice within the space of 12 months to include an eight-team format in 2022. The format of the preferred six-team competition this year is yet to be determined, with the NRL Chief Executive Andrew Abdo to escalate talks with major stakeholders, including broadcast partners and potential naming rights sponsors, before deciding on the length of the season. the NRL's vision for the women's game doesn't just involve expansion of the elite competition. It's also set to include a detailed blueprint about how to encourage more junior participation. I think it's really important that the NRL practice what they're preaching here. It's currently a four-team competition, and it feels, I know for a lot of the girls, it feels almost like a novelty competition with the way that the season's almost over before it starts. So I think it's really important for them to increase the length of that season and hopefully introduce more teams as the competition progresses.
In the world of snow sports, the Snow Australia Awards took place on Thursday in Melbourne to celebrate the season of snow sports that has recently wrapped up. Laura Peel was awarded Aerials Athlete of the Year. Belle Brockhoff tied with Jared Hughes for Snowboard Cross Athlete of the Year. And Danielle Scott won the Alex Chumpy Pullen Outstanding Achievement Award. The previously known Outstanding Achievement Award was named in honour of late Australian snowboarder Chumpy Pullen. I know Danielle was good friends with Chumpy, so an incredibly special award to receive and an amazing way to celebrate his legacy.
In beach volleyball, Taliqua Clancy and Maria Faye Artacho del Sola have taken the win in the third and last FIVB Beach Volleyball World Tour four-star event in the Cancun Hub. They defeated Brazil to take the crown and an additional 800 points towards their Olympic qualification. And finally, in basketball, Shyla Hill has signed a multi-year deal at the Sydney Uni Flames under new head coach, her dad, Shane Hill. Shyla is waiting for visa clearance to meet up with her new WNBA teammates in Chicago and has announced she will link with her dad at the Flames at the end of the year. Let's take a look at the key story. AFLW player Jacinda Barclay has become the first contact sportswoman in Australia to have her brain donated to the Australian Sports Brain Bank, where researchers have uncovered evidence of neurological damage.
Jacinda, who died last year at age 29 after a battle with mental illness, was found by brain researchers to have degradation to her cerebral white matter. This kind of micro damage has been seen in American footballers and is believed to be due to repetitive head injuries in contact sports. Jacinda's donation has been described as groundbreaking, as it takes a huge step in balancing the gender equity in sports concussion research. In the past, donations to the Brain Bank have only been from male contact sport athletes. While Jacinda's clinical history does not show substantial incidence of concussion, researchers say the findings are not common in someone of her age and fitness. When speaking to The Guardian, research manager at the Australian Sports Brain Bank, Alan Pierce, said, "We really need to understand if there are differences between men and women's brains. Research is totally biased towards men in this area. It's really important that we're balancing the ledger here and not just talking about men all the time. But we also need to ensure that scientific research doesn't just reinforce harmful social stereotypes too."
Jacinda was an incredibly talented athlete who played 23 games for the GWS Giants in the AFLW, as well as representing Australia in baseball, playing at 5 World Cups. She also played in gridiron as a quarterback in both Australia and the US. Jacinda made a huge contribution to the sporting landscape for women in Australia, and her family have said that they hope this donation and research from the Brain Bank can continue to help women across multiple sporting codes. Now it's time for the presser.
You may be familiar with this story if you have seen the video that we posted on our socials late last week. Australian longboard surfer Lucy Small won the women's title at the Curly Maljam Pro on Sydney's Northern Beaches last week. Upon winning, she was presented with a trophy and a cheque for $1,500. Although she was rapt on winning the title, she was taken aback to see that her male counterpart was given a cheque for $4,000, more than double what she was awarded. When Lucy went on stage to receive her prize and say a victory speech, she utilised the moment to call out the event organisers for the inequality in prize money.
We've got Lucy on the line with us now. Lucy, thanks so much for having a chat with us. Can you tell us a little bit about how long you've been surfing for and how you first got into it?
So I'm just about to turn 28 and I started surfing when I was 13. So whatever math that is.
Nice.
I grew up in southern West Australia in a small town called Denmark, which is a pretty remote and pretty quiet place, but it's on the coast. So I just started going to the beach, and I think I always spent a lot of time at the beach, but I was always a little bit scared to get out there in the lineup and surf. And my older brother surfed, and he used to say, like, "No, that's my sport." Mm-hmm. Ironic now, isn't it? Anyway,
yeah.
So I finally gave it a go and yeah, just loved it and did it a lot since then, since I first started. And, yeah, I started competing when I was 17 and have been lucky enough to kind of go to a lot of really amazing places around the world on surf trips and competing and spending time with a really amazing community in all these different places, which has been just the best ever. and then that basically takes me up till now.
How awesome. To give the listeners a bit of context, are you able to explain, I guess, how often longboarding comps happen and how they are structured?
So at the moment, obviously, the calendar, sort of competitive longboarding calendar, is a little bit adjusted, but normally in like a regular kind of year, we'll have the World Tour is like run by the World Surf League. And so the last time that we had that was in 2019. We had four events that went first to Spain and New York, it started in Australia and then went to Spain, New York, and then finished up in Taiwan. Calendar is like pretty changing though. As the longboard tour is maybe like the sort of poor cousin of the shortboard tour in the way that it's determined every year, is just determined by who they can get sponsorship from and where that is. And so it is changing quite a lot. But it's sort of like it's really growing, particularly women's longboarding. There's really been a huge influx of really talented like teenage girls who have come onto the tour at a really young age. And that's been a really exciting thing. But so basically like competitive longboarding, I don't know if the listeners would know much about how competitive surfing works, but it's like a 25-minute heat where you have two people on the water or four people, and you catch as many waves as you like, but the judges are scoring you out of 10, and your top two scores count, and then you go through to the next round. And so as well as having the pro tour events, there's a bunch of like different amateur events around, which is things like the Curly Nail Jam, which was last weekend, which is a longboard club, which is like a community club where they have like monthly meets, and then every year or every 2 years we'll have their kind of like big event. And so that's what the Curly Nail Jam was, and there's quite a few of those events around Australia. So there's different kind of levels, and then there's also like some international events that are not like the pro events, but there's still like a lot of the people from the World Tour are surfing at those events, things like the Mexi Log Fest, which is in Mexico, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's actually, there's a lot, it's a pretty huge calendar these days.
Or like, yeah, it does, it sounds like awesome. It. Yeah.
I read that it was only once you saw the novelty check that you realized that the women's prize money was less than half that of the men's. Did you decide straight away that you were going to call it out? Because it was very eloquent. Like if that was me in that scenario and I did that on demand, I would have just been like whispered into the microphone, please give me more money.
So I came in from the final and like I didn't know that I'd won the final. Because they don't tell you at the time, they just wait till the presentation. But there, like quite a few people had come up to me and said, oh, I think like you probably won that one. Then somebody mentioned, I don't know who it was, someone mentioned that, that the prize money wasn't equal. And I really thought like, I was like, no way, that's not true. Because like we have equal prize money now. And I know that there was another event in Noosa in March that apparently there was not equal prize money. And when I heard that, I was like pretty annoyed. And I was not at the event. But I thought about emailing the organisers, but then I didn't like follow up on it. And so then when they said that at this event, I was like, surely not. Like that can't be true. And so I went over to where they were setting up the presentation. I saw the novelty checks and I like moved the stuff so I could look at the figure. And someone actually came over and said like, oh, like we're setting up, like don't move it. And I was just like digging around trying to check all the amount. And when I saw the difference, I went and asked one of the men, I was like, I went and asked how much their entry fee was. Cause I thought, well, if my prize money is less, then surely my entry fee is less. And he said that it was the same. And then I just was so annoyed. I was just so mad. And so me and myself and two of the other women that were in the final and one of there was Tully, who was last year's winner. Her mum was also there, and she was also just, we were just talking about how we're just so sick of this happening. It's so like ultimately disrespectful, I guess. And it just is just, I was so, I didn't know if I'd won, but we were talking about, okay, well, and I said to the other women, I was like, if I've won, I'm going to say something, like I have to. And then we were saying like, maybe we should just like go and talk to the organizer. And we didn't really like draw a conclusion what to do. And then the juniors went up for their presentation before, and then they didn't, no one said a speech, like the winner didn't get a chance on the mic. And then we went up, and then they said that I'd won it, but then we just started walking off because I thought, and then thought I wouldn't get the mic. And then the guy who was emceeing, he goes, don't you think we should get it to say something? And I just thought to myself, you are going to regret it. And I got the mic, and I thought, it crossed my mind for a second, like, just don't say it, Lucy. Like, just talk to them later. And then the words were just coming out of my mouth. I don't know. I was shaking. I was so scared. And like, to look at the people in the face who had just given me a $1,500 check and just, like, say that to them. I don't know. It just happened. And so, yeah, I came off, like, I walked off completely, like, shaken. And basically my heart rate didn't go down until this morning.
Yeah, I bet. It's funny, we shared the clip of your speech on our socials, and someone commented saying, I thought this was a really old video and I realized it was posted about last week, and they were so shocked that this is still happening in sport. And it's funny because obviously in surfing they have gotten equal prize money on the WSL tour, but there is still so much inequality out there in across different sports. Have you been surprised by the reaction to your decision to call out the inequality?
Like on the day of deciding to like call that out on the microphone, I had no kind of idea that it would go anything beyond like that presentation. You know, that was, I didn't have any thought that it might, I don't know, go viral or something like that. But it's just been like the last 7 days has been the most intense but amazing, heartwarming week of my life. Like it's been my, I've never experienced such an outpouring of support and just like people, the like hundreds and hundreds of amazing messages that I've received from people that are, that have been saying like a huge number of messages of people, men and women, saying like, I have daughters and I've showed them your video and I hope that they can grow up to be like you.
And, oh, that's beautiful.
Which is amazing. A lot of PE teachers saying that they've showed their video to their PE class.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
Which is awesome. And then, yeah, just like women from all, like of many different sports, have also messaged to say that this happens all the time in my sport, like this inequality, and that is just yeah, like I've just felt like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I said something that I didn't really think would even be that consequential, and it's resonated with so many people, and it's made me feel like we can do things. Like there's so many of us that feel the same way, and we can make real change. I hope it's made me optimistic in that way, I guess.
Yeah, I love that. And I know for me personally, it was so cool to see someone have the courage to stand up in front of a crowd and call out something that wasn't right. So thanks so much for coming on and having a chat with us. I hope you keep doing what you're doing. Keep surfing, killing it out there, and just keep standing up for it, because I know a lot of people are inspired by what you did. So thank you so much.
You are just most welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries at all.
A surf brand has since donated the money to Lucy to ensure she gets back paid and is paid equally to the men. And the club's committee has said prize money would be made equal across all categories for future events.
Let's take a look at what to watch this week. In wheelchair basketball, if you're in Brisbane, the Aussie Gliders play a series of games from Saturday to Monday at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre, including against the under-23 men's team.
In netball, round two of the Suncorp Super Netball continues this week. Our matchup of the round is West Coast Fever taking on the New South Wales Swifts. this Saturday, 8th of May at 8 p.m. Watch live on Channel 9.
And that's the wrap.
Thanks for joining us to get your weekly hit of women's sports news. Let us know what you think and what you want to hear more of. If you liked it, hit subscribe and send it on to one person you think could benefit from it.
The Wrap will drop every Tuesday morning, wherever you get your podcasts, to cover the big achievements, a favourite story, and what to watch in the coming week. For my interviews with top female athletes, we're currently on a break and giving you a chance to catch up on all the eps for season one. Keep up to date on our Instagram, at the Female Athlete Project, for when we launch season two.
See you next week, Chloe.
Bye.